Our text for today is written in the 12th chapter of Genesis, reading from the first verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. And this was the same text that was preached by Pastor Horsted 100 years ago. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Our text describes Abram's journey of about 300 miles from Haran, which is in northern Iraq, to the land of Canaan. This trip was made because of God's promise to bless him. By faith, Abram walked in the good way, even though he did not know where he was going. He walked this way because he sought a different country, not the land of Canaan, but the land of eternal joy. Many other believers since him have walked this way by faith in the Messiah. And we follow them. As we celebrate the 100th anniversary of our synod, let us consider the theme, our Christian calling, a walking in the good way. If we are to walk in that way, we need to know how are we to walk in it and how are we to be strengthened in the walk on the good way. In June 1917, Pastor Horsted addressed those assembled at Lime Creek with these words, "Under exceedingly strange circumstances, we greet one another here today. Having always before gathered under a well-defined and well-organized apostolically free church organization, we today meet as scattered sheep without any formal system of government. This must call forth strange thoughts and questions. Why do we meet alone? Why not together with the many near and dear to us who wish to believe and be saved as well as we do? Why stand aloof against the current and the rush for that great union which all the world is praising? These and similar questions we must earnestly consider until we, by the power and light of God's word, arrive at such a firm conviction that we can, from the scriptures, answer them properly every time the old Adam puts them into our mind." End of quote. Everyone else declared that the people assembled at Lime Creek were foolish to continue on or try to reorganize. For in doing so, they had lost every earthly advantage: church buildings, many schools, hospitals, friends, and relatives. And they gained the mockery and the shunning of the rest of the people. But they and we are not seeking earthly advantage. They heard from God's word through Jeremiah, "Stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and then you will find rest for your soul." We live in a society that wants to change things and looking for change. We live with changes in technology, changes in society, changes in morals, even changes in the things that we eat. Consider how any appliance or car or idea or habit older than 10 years is being replaced and discarded. Who then wants to be old-fashioned and walk in the old ways? But dear friends, there is great danger that comes from letting up the anchor of your soul and wandering out into the world, because we may drift onto the shoals that will destroy our faith if we do not walk in the old paths. When it comes to religion and our relationship with God, following the old path is one that has been well tested, a path that brings the goal to heaven. The narrow path turns people away because it humbly asks us to repent of our sins. It humbly asks us to confess that Jesus is the only way to heaven and that he is our Savior. And it humbly asks us to trust in his promise to grant us forgiveness and eternal life. Now, when God called Abram to leave his family and travel to Canaan, Abram had to reject his family and his way of life as well at the age of 75. He left his family, he left the places that he was dealing with and went into a strange country where there were people who did not worship as he did. And yet he went because of the command of God and the blessing that God gave. That blessing was very important to him. And by the gift of the Holy Spirit, he believed the promise that in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That promise was about the Messiah. The Messiah whom God would send would come from Abraham's descendant. And so by faith, he went to that land because he wanted a better country that is heaven. Just as God called Abram, he also called us to faith in Jesus through baptism. Baptism is the first step in that journey. For the Lord has called us out of original sin, our sinful flesh, and which was given to us by our parents. By baptism, God graciously turned us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to live under God. We were not children of God, but God has adopted us into his family through baptism, through faith in Jesus Christ, and made us his children and give us all blessings that faith in Christ gives us. That is, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. God adopted us by baptism, which means is the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. God blessed us with faith. What a blessing we have to walk in that old path, to know the confidence that since God has done all of this for us, that path will lead us to heaven. God's free election was the issue that caused people to meet at Lime Creek. Are people elected because God saw that in the future that they would have faith, as some declared, or because God elected them out of his free grace from eternity, as our epistle declared? Are people converted by their decision or by the work of God's word alone? Martin Luther answered these questions in the explanation to the third article. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. And these words we continue to confess. These words are the old path we are to follow. By faith in God's promise, Abram left Haran, not knowing where he was going. But it didn't matter. He knew that he would be keeping with and following God's promises, and yet God would not lead him astray. And he found the land of Canaan, and God promised him that I will give this whole land to your descendants. But the most important promise was the promise of the Savior. In thee shall all the nations of the world be blessed. And so the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he would later receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. This was his daily renewal by faith in Christ. And so by faith, you and I walk in the old paths, not knowing what will happen to us, but knowing that we have a certain future, trusting in God's word that he will lead us and guide us on the old path to eternal life, believing that God's word will preserve us in his kingdom. For we have Jesus' promise, if we continue in that word, we are his disciples, and we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free from sin, death, and the power of the devil. This is the old path we are to walk. It is narrow. It is difficult. It sometimes means that the world will be against us. But the old path leads to heaven. And we need to know and walk on that path. And in order to walk on that path, we need to know how we can receive strength so that we may walk with the Lord. You see, the devil tempts us to doubt God's promises, just as he tempted Eve. Yea, hath God said? Did he really say this? We can see all of the world and what it offers to us, and we cannot see heaven. And so by faith, we are walking to that goal instead of living for the world. Our reason tells us that we can try to be God and that God should be pleased with that. But Scripture tells us that nothing that we do pleases God in the sense that we earn our way to heaven or pay for our sins. Reason can say that being alone, being aloft, as the people did in Lime Creek, is foolishness. But God wants us to listen to His word, to believe that He will give success by the preaching of the word, and that His word is true, in spite of what everybody else says. You can imagine that Satan tempted Abram also. Can you believe God's word? Do you know where He's leading? He may lead you astray. And what if you die on the way? Abraham simply trusted that God would keep His promises. And you and I are to trust that too. We don't know the future. We don't know what will happen. But we do know what future God has given to us through faith in Jesus Christ. God has called us to follow the path of Jesus. Jesus said, as we heard in our gospel, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And so Jesus comes to us by His word and by His sacraments to comfort us with God's forgiveness and to lead us on the way to eternal life. And as we heard in the gospel, Jesus is in heaven preparing a place for us. He has called us. He has elected and chosen us from eternity. He has baptized us and brought us into His kingdom. And He has promised us eternal life to all those who believe on Him. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus gives us His body and blood, which is given and shed for you for the remission of sins. By faith, we are to remember His death, to know that He died for our sins, and to be assured that that forgiveness is ours. Jesus atoned for our sins, and the word atone means to be one with God. And only those who are holy can be one with God. But if our sins are forgiven, if we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ, God looks at us as holy. We are one with God through faith in Jesus Christ. St. Paul wrote, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. That word reconcile means to make friends out of enemies. We who were not a people of God, we who were enemies of God by sin, God has made friends and reconciled so that we are with Him. We're walking in the old paths of the gospel. How can we know that God forgives us our sins? First, Jesus rose to life in order to declare forgiveness for the whole world, to declare everyone's sins are forgiven and declared not guilty. Second, we are baptized into Christ's death so that our sins are washed away in God's eyes. Third, we hear the word of absolution, God Himself speaking and telling us your sins are forgiven, and we are to believe that word as if God Himself had spoken to us. And fourth, we receive the Lord's Supper, God's guarantee and earnest that there is salvation, that God comes personally to each one of us with His body and blood that He died on the cross for, to give us that forgiveness that we need. And as Luther says, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation in Jesus' name. So we have God's promise. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Again, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit. Abraham had this same faith in the promised Messiah. He lived in the land God promised him and his descendants, knowing that the Messiah would live there also. By faith, Abraham with a small band of servants rescued Lot from a great enemy. By faith, Abraham was even willing to sacrifice Isaac as God commanded him, knowing that God would have to raise Isaac from the dead because he was the son of promise. He was the ancestor of the Messiah. And as God promised, Abraham was blessed to many people who lived as he lived in the land of promise. By grace, God has called you and I to faith. And you and I are a blessing to many people as we live in this place, both in our actions, in our kindness, in our words, in what we say about Jesus. We are the light of the world. We are people who have been blessed by God and now bless others as they hear about Jesus through us. 100 years ago, Pastor Harsted ended his sermon with these words: "Such are the blessings flowing from strict obedience and adherence to every one of God's words, even though it should call down upon us the curse and persecution of the world, and to us seem to be only defeat and destruction, besides the ridicule and contempt of the world. Yet, we are not to swerve from the truth, for the Lord is at our side." He says, "And you shall be hated by all men for my sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess your soul." End of quote. So when we think of God's blessings and all of them that he has given to our ancestors and given to us, we may thank and praise God on this anniversary and bless his name and enlarge our hearts to receive the blessings God gives us and hold on to the old path, because in that path there is life. In that path there is forgiveness. On that path Jesus walked. To that path he will take us to heaven. Amen.